I cradle my hand. The pain is unbearable. Remy appears, and I've never been so glad to see him. Behind him, a servant wheels in a rolling chair. I can walk, I say.
You shouldn't, Remy replies, surveying my hand. We'll get there faster.
He lifts me up and deposits me gently in the chair.
What happened? He asks.
A hood lifts above my head, a privacy canopy, shielding me from view. Unruly tears fall down my cheeks. I'm too upset to answer. I don't want him to know I'm crying. Remy walks beside the chair as it tramples over lightly frosted ground.
They said you lifted your cast by yourself and hurt your hand, but you didn't have it with you. I brought you there empty-handed.
I don't want to talk about it, I say.
I can't protect you if you don't start telling me the truth.
You can't protect me from her. I have to protect myself. We re-enter the palace. Whispers follow us. Remy shoos away, trailing newsies, trying to figure out how the favourite landed herself in a rolling chair. We take one of the golden lifts to a higher floor. The journey to the palace infirmary feels long. I'm pushed along winding corridors and balconies. The doors of the palace infirmary glow bright with lanterns, the royal apothecary emblem burned into their sides. Their light pushes through the privacy curtain. Remy shoves the doors open. I'm wheeled inside. The attending nurse lifts the hooded veil and helps me up.
My goodness, what happened?
She shepherds me into a private area. We must also check your levels. The doctor will be in soon. She fills a tray with needles and takes out the arcana meter from her pocket.
It looks like you've broken those fingers. The last two.
Treacherous work being a belle at court, isn't it? Fixing up spoiled little girls and boys. She tries to make me laugh. I can't. My thoughts storm and the pain throbs.
Her Royal Highness sent word that you were trying to lift your beauty cast. DuBarry warned that you were stubborn and a bit unruly. But doing a servant's work, young lady.
She pats my arm.
You shouldn't have.
Rest now and the doctor will have these bones reset in no time. Your arcana will help them heal quickly.
The arcana don't heal, I grumble.
Aye, but their proteins can refresh, and that speeds the healing.
The arcana refresh.
The arcana rejuvenate.
The blood proteins.
Princess Charlotte.
Where is my personal servant, Bree? I ask.
I will send for her.
I sink back into the chair. I'm leeched, stuffed with food and two pots of Belrose tea, and my fingers are set and wrapped in a splint.
Remy takes his place outside the doors, and I close my eyes to drift in and out of a fitful sleep.
Camellia. Camellia.
I wake to whispers, then Bree's concerned face.
What happened?
Sophia. She runs gentle fingers over my hand. I need you to find the Queen's bell, Arabella. Tell her to come to me.
Yes, of course.
As quickly as you can. Bree nods, then scurries off. I watch an hourglass on a shelf. It expires before Arabella arrives. She rushes to the bed. Her veil blends into the darkness of the room.
Are you all right? She asks.
As well as I can be. She examines my hand, then scrunches back the ruffled sleeves on her dress to expose a series of scars that look like quill scratches and bite marks.
Sophia's anger can bite.
Tell the Queen I'm ready to help Charlotte. I'll do whatever I can. I lift my cast. Broken hand and all.
Thank the goddess, she whispers.
44. I pace my bedroom, waiting for Arabella or the Queen's post or her guards. I cradle my splinted hand. The day dims into evening, and evening fades into night, and an open window carries the symphony of laughter and cheerful voices into my room. I step onto the balcony and look out on the imperial carriages clustered down below. The moon burns dull white and winks light over their gilded frames.
Sophia must be having another party. Bree opens the door.
Is she here?
Who, my lady?
Arabella.
No, my lady, just the dinner cart.
A flurry of post balloons trail her.
What are all of those? I ask.
The newsies found out about your hand, she says, and thus the entire kingdom.
The main salon is filled wall to wall with post balloons. Currant red, emerald, dark plum, onyx, cerulean, saffron, primrose, jade, quicksilver. Elizabeth complains and grumbles, smacking them left and right. They dodge her angry swings and drift higher toward the ceiling. One catches my eye. It's shaped like a black ship in the Royal Harbour. I reach for it. My heart is starting to beat faster. I remove the note from the back.
Camille, lifting heavy objects doesn't seem like it suits you. Please stop.
Feel better. Write me.
But most likely you won't, because you're very important and will receive a dozen of these or more. Nonetheless, I challenge you to write me back. Yours, Auguste.
A smile warms my entire body. The only bright moment of today. The Bell apartment doors snap open. I fill with sudden relief. Arabella.
I rush forward.
Her Royal Highness, Princess Sophia, House of Orléans, an attendant announces, followed by her Ladies of Honour and the Royal Fashion Minister, Gustave de Polignac.
I freeze, then slip the note down the front of my dress. Does Sophia know about my message to the Queen? Has something happened to Arabella?
Sophia runs over to me.
How are you, my little love?
She bats her long eyelashes and purses her lips. Her mouth is like a miniature pink sweetheart pastry from one of the patisserie windows in Trianon. There isn't a single trace of our earlier fight. I step back, shielding my hand. I'm fine. She smiles.
I've brought you dinner. It's the least I can do. I was angry earlier. Claudine provoked me. Forgive me, will you?
She turns to Claudine.
Apologize for provoking me, Claudine,
she hollers.
I'm sorry, Your Highness. Claudine curtsies. I take full responsibility. I'm sorry, Camelia, it's all my fault.
Servants flood through the doors, pushing steaming carts and carrying heavy trays. An entire feast is laid out before me in seconds. Beautiful flowers adorn the platters. Roses, edelweiss, bloodroot, violets, laurels, and tulips. Her ladies of honour find seats, eyeing the army of post balloons overhead.
Does it hurt? Gabrielle asks.
Yes, I say.
Claudine plucks a strawberry from one of the dessert carts.
Don't eat that food!
Sophia barks at Claudine.
It's for Camelia only.
Claudine flashes the colour of the strawberry in her hand and drops it. Henrietta Marie skips around the room, inspecting each corner. The fashion minister picks at invisible lint on his pants. He's unusually quiet. I wait for him to say something light-hearted, make a joke, even look at me. But he stares into his lap. You didn't have to interrupt your busy schedule to bring me dinner and come talk to me. I'm fine, I say, hoping Sophia and her ladies will leave. I watch the door, anticipating Arabella's arrival.
Oh, but it's not just a social call. Right, Gustave?
She turns to the fashion minister.
Her Highness has had me attempt to make several vivant dresses based on the one you created as her wedding look.
His voice is flat, eyes glassy.
We'd like your opinion on them.
He snaps his fingers. The Bell apartment doors reopen, and his dandies push in massive bell jars that hold three dress stands. Three different gowns glitter beneath the glass. The first one blooms bright with the colour of fresh blood, then turns snow-white, and back again. The second has the texture of a honeycomb. The fabric is cut in sharp angles, hugging the mannequin like it's the queen of the hive, as the colour oscillates like the sunrise from rich oranges to bright yellows to soft tangerines. The third is feathered and covered in seed pearls that shift into various gleaming shades of white, cream and milk and lily and ivory and bone. I do a lap around each one. They change as I pass. They're beautiful, I tell the fashion minister.
But still not quite right,
Sophia joins me, slipping her hand into my good one. She strokes it like I'm one of her teacup pets. I flinch at her touch, but she tightens her grip.
I need your wisdom. I need you to help Gustav make these even better.
I pull away. Of course, Your Highness.
That's what I like to hear.
She returns to her seat, a triumphant look on her face.
Tell me your ideas.
Perhaps the fabrics can transform the length and style of the dress throughout the ceremony, I say. Sophia leaps with joy.
That's right! That's right! It would be so unexpected.
She turns to the fashion minister.
Can it be done?
His eyes are wide with panic, but he says,
I will do my very best.
You never disappoint. I will keep you in my cabinet forever.
She kisses him.
Now, come eat, Camellia. I've brought this just for you.
Bree makes me a plate, collecting different meats and vegetables from all the carts. Sophia sprinkles the plate with flowers.
Don't forget these. They're popular now. The Minister of Health says we should all ingest colourful vegetables, and even flowers. It's beneficial, supposedly.
I eat as the others watch. The food has a peculiar smell, pungent, flowery. Strange. Sophia smiles. They discuss the coming declaration and what Sophia will wear. The fashion minister suggests several looks. I fade in and out of the conversation. Their voices turn muffled, their words drifting off like they've been set afloat. A shiver floods through me, both hot and cold at once. The room spins around like a teletrope wheel. My stomach turns.
Are you all right?
Sophia asks.
I don't feel, I mumble as the food starts to come up and out and all over my dress.
Bree rushes to my side.
What is it, miss?
Don't touch her,
Sophia commands. Bree jumps back.
Didn't you serve her?
Sophia accuses.
Yes, Your Highness, but...
Bree stammers.
Did you put something in the food? Gabrielle adds.
The room rocks left and right like a boat. Sweat races down my cheeks. I can't speak. I can't defend Bree. I can't stop vomiting.
Call the guards, Sophia says. Take her. She's tried to kill the favourite.
Sophia's guards drag Bree, kicking and screaming and crying, from the room. I want to stop them, but I can't form the words. She becomes a tiny pinprick before everything goes dark. The hours tangle together. A mess of night sweats and medicine and not being able to keep anything in my stomach. The poison chokes my veins like a vice. It dulls and mutes the arcana. I can't feel my gifts anymore. The gentle hum of power just beneath my skin is gone. My connection to my sisters and the goddess of beauty is lost. The drowsiness is too heavy to resist. My eyelids fight to stay open. Someone touches my wrists. There's a pinch as needles push into my skin. Low blood pressure, extreme drowsiness, dilated pupils, very low arcana. Deep sleep, almost coma-like. Poison for sure. But her blood is clean. How is this possible? We may never know. 45. 3 days pass, like sand falling from one side of an hourglass to the other. A new imperial servant, Marcella, helps me dress. It's my first day out of bed. The Queen's post balloon floats from my vanity hook. Her note telling me to come immediately to her chambers when I am strong enough is tucked into my dress. The Declaration of Heirs ceremony has been postponed until both the Queen and the Princess can be prepared by the favourite. The main salon is a flurry of chaos. Battalions of gossip post balloons swarm the solarium as the morning lanterns are lit. Their black noses click and clack against the glass, begging to be let in. I know they're full of parchment that hold questions and tattlers replete with speculation about what happened to me. Knocks rattle the Bell apartment door.
Lady Camellia isn't seeing anyone yet. Please make an appointment, Elizabeth shouts from her office.
The circuit phones blare. Remy's powerful voice blasts through the doors.
You can leave Get Well Flowers, but you must clear the hall.
Newspapers sit on tea tables flashing their headlines. Favourite almost killed by the jilted ex-favourite. Poison has become more deadly at court than an assassin's dagger. Princess Sophia outraged at the treatment of the favourite and jails an entire staff of servants.
Imperial servant responsible for the favourite's poisoning put in starvation box.
My jacket, Marcella, I say, my words clipped. I want Bree back. She drapes it over my shoulders. I open the Bell apartment doors. Claudine stands there with her attendant.
I didn't even get a chance to knock, she says.
I'm leaving. I have an appointment. I step out. Remy gathers flowers and cards and post balloons left along the hall.
Wait, I need to talk to you. I have to tell you something.
If it's about what I saw in the market courtier, don't worry. I haven't told anyone. I promised you I wouldn't.
I know you haven't, Claudine whispers, and I'm so, so grateful.
She takes a deep breath.
Are you feeling better?
The poison has left my system thanks to the leeches. I don't mention how it took a full day for my arcana to return.
And I'm sorry about your imperial servant. What was her name? I saw the headlines about the starvation.
Bree. I bite back tears.
Can we go inside for a moment?
She looks all around as if we're being watched.
It'll only take a moment.
I sigh, then return to the main salon. Claudine licks her bottom lip.
Actually, can we use one of the treatment rooms?
Claudine, I must go.
Please.
Her eyes are desperate. I lead her to a treatment salon and close the door behind us. What is it? She leans in and whispers.
Don't react to what I'm saying. We're always being watched. The servants, the attendants. Make sure to laugh as if I'm telling you something ridiculous so they don't pay attention.
She waits for me to nod.
I'm almost certain Sophia was the one that poisoned your food that night. She told us not to eat from the carts. She made it seem like it was a special treat just for you. But I knew, I suspected.
I cover up my anger with a laugh. I knew it was her. Bree would never harm me.
When we were younger, Sophia would hurt us. If we didn't do what she wanted, even if it was to play a different game in the gardens or playroom, she'd get angry. And if we spent time with people other than her, she'd punish us.
How? She pauses as we hear someone pass outside the door.
She would slip drafts into our tea, or lace our rose creams with something to make us sick so we wouldn't spend time with other people or go places she didn't want us to. She always gets what she wants.
She pauses and fakes a giggle, so I mimic her.
And I've always obeyed.
She can't get away with this anymore, I say.
She can, and she will. She's just started manipulating you, Camille, and the more you fight back or resist what she wants, the worse it will get.
Claudine drops her head.
I'm not strong enough to fight her.
I won't let her get away with it.
She's talking about how she'd like to be able to change her look with a snap of a finger if she steps into a room and sees someone more beautiful than she is. She's trying to figure out how to make this possible. She's experimenting.
We have to stop her.
I don't have the courage.
Claudine shakes her head.
I'm leaving after her wedding. I just wanted to tell you to have Madame du Barry hire a taster for your food. You've been kind to me, and I wanted to return the favor.
Where will you go?
I don't know. Just away from here.
After Claudine slips out, I slam skin color pots and pastilles on the table. I throw one at the wall. It shatters, leaving its gooey contents behind like a spatter of blood.
In a bad mood, a voice says from behind.
Auguste? I whip around. He stands beside the dressing screen.
How did you get in here?
I have my ways, he says, closing the gap between us. His jacket and shirt hang open. His cravat is a loose tangle, and his sailor pants are worn at the knees. He smells like cologne and champagne. Stubble peppers his jaw, and his eyes look tired, like he's been up all night. He removes his jacket. You got past Remy. The thought both thrills and terrifies me.
And Claudine. I saw her in the hall, he says. The first time I visited you, I figured out there were ways in and out of these apartments without being seen. There would have to be. Gods forbid if there was a siege. There would have to be some way to get valued people out secretly.
He lifts his hand to touch my cheek.
Are you all right? I read in the papers about the poisoning.
I let his hand rest there for a moment too long before stepping away. The softness and the heat linger. I'm better. I'm fine.
I sent you a post balloon. You never answered.
I've received over 4,000 letters and balloons. I'm still opening them. He touches my shoulder, the pad of his thumb grazing where the fabric meets the skin. I'm very busy, Auguste. I have an appointment with the Queen.
Maybe I should leave, then.
He sounds disappointed. There's a pinch in my stomach. You don't have to just yet. I can spare a minute, just one.
No, I should go.
He gives me a sheepish look.
Truth is, I'm a little afraid of you, he says.
I laugh, presuming he's joking. His expression tightens. A wrinkle furrows his brow.
I'm afraid of this.
He motions his hand between us like he's running it along a ribbon that connects the two of us. I turn my back to him. I'm not sure what you mean. I clutch my skirts to stop the tremors in my hands. I feel each one of his footsteps as he nears. I feel the warmth of him like a heat lantern, the sensation pushing through the back of my dress. I feel his breath hit the top of my bell bun.
Have you ever wondered about love?
Love, I say, barely able to get the word out. He rests his hands on my waist and pivots me round. The scent of him wraps around me and I inhale. I let him pull me forward. He places his fingers right above my breast. His thumb presses into my skin. He takes my hand and puts it to his chest.
You feel that?
Yes. His heart is racing.
Love is when hearts beat together.
I pull away. I have that with my sisters.
Have you ever wanted it with someone other than them?
I'm not allowed to entertain that idea. It would be dangerous.
Another rule.
A reality.
I'm going to leave, he says. Leave court, I mean.
My heart plummets, even though it shouldn't. Is Sophia chasing everyone away? Why?
I'm taking myself out of the running to be one of Sophia's suitors.
Why would you do that? He touches my face. Fingertips drift over my forehead, down my cheeks, and across my lips. My pulse races. A blush rises in my cheeks. The warmth of the heat lanterns and his body are making me sweat. He presses the answer to my question against my lips. and I tasted, wrapped with the faint flavour of the rose pigment I smeared on my mouth, and the cinnamon he must have taken in his tea. The kiss is soft at first, then harder. He opens my mouth with his tongue, and I let him. My heart flutters. All of the things DuBarry warned us about, our blood, our arcana, our gifts, are forgotten. There's me. There's him. There's a meeting of our mouths, our skin, and bodies. He pushes deeper. His hands drift up and down my back. I tug his hair. The world is this room around us, and all I want to do is feel this over and over again. I could kiss him for 1,000 hourglasses, even if DuBarry says it will damage my arcana. I pull away to catch my breath. I've wanted to do that since I first saw you, he says. I tap my fingers over my puffy lips. They tingle. I don't want to lose that feeling. I know, I say, still breathless. Me too. You should leave with me, he says, kissing my forehead, then nose, then mouth again. The heaviness of his words settles into my shoulders. Where would we go? To the edge of the world, beyond the barrier. They would hunt us. Sophia would... I don't want to marry her. She's a... monster, I say, and he smiles. So leave with me. It would be an adventure. We'd be together. I would get sick. I'm not supposed to love. I'm a bell. But you can. He traces a finger along the rim of my mouth. He lifts my chin and kisses me again. I imagine what it might be like. Us in a boat, leaving Orleans and seeing the world, kissing him every day, learning what it's like to be loved by someone other than my sisters. I sink deeper into his kiss. I float alongside the fantasy, giving it breath and flesh and bone. It could happen. I could leave with him. Maman's voice whispers, "Do what is right." Charlotte's face flashes in my mind. The promise to Arabella and the Queen. I place a hand to his chest and slide my mouth off his. "I can't," I whisper so softly, maybe he won't hear. Maybe it won't be true. "Is it because you love all of this too much?" He steps away with a frown. The warmth of him is lost, and a sudden chill settles in. "No, Auguste, I should never have come here." His expression hardens. I reach for his hand. He yanks away. "Auguste!" Without another word, he storms out. I follow him into the hall. Tears well up in my eyes. There's no trace of him. Just Marcella standing there holding the golden tail ribbons of the Queen's glittering post balloon. I snatch it from her and retrieve the note.
"Camelia, Sophia is visiting her sister today. I'll send an escort tomorrow. H.R.M.
46. The next day, bells chime through the belly of the palace in honour of the Queen. In preparation for the declaration ceremony, she's announced her sickness. The court sent out mourning post-balloons, complete with the Queen's joyful miniature portrait and words about all she's done for the kingdom during her reign. They patter along in the halls and corridors and leave a sad trail of tear-shaped glitter and the noise of tiny wailing cries. The court is called to prayer in the receiving hall at different intervals of the day. Today will be marked as a day of mourning. I wait for word from her, but instead receive a dress and a summons from Sophia. I walk to the princess's chambers with Remy at my side. Sophia's private dining room sparkles like a diamond. Cold season flowers burst from every surface. Goblets, champagne flutes, and tumblers boast jewel-toned liquid. Towers of silver-flecked macarons sit like snow-covered trees on the grand table. Heat lanterns add their warmth and light over us like stars.
I am announced to the room, the last guest to arrive.
So glad you could make my spontaneous feast, Sophia says.
She wears a black mourning dress and a black diamond draped around her neck. Her blonde hair tower features a cameo of her mother. May I express my sincerest apologies for the illness of your mother, our queen, I say with a bow, and kiss two fingers to place at my heart. The whole table mimics my gesture to show respect for the dying. I will play this game with her tonight. She nods and motions for me to join them. Remy joins the other guards fanned out across the room. Auguste sits to Sophia's left, along with a beautiful red-headed woman. Prince Alfred sits to her right, with a greasy smile on his face. I startle at the sight of him. He was supposed to have been banished. He blows me a kiss when I pass by. Every part of me clenches. Anger sits just beneath my skin, mingling with my arcana. I spot Elizabeth at a separate child's table, glaring down into her lap with a scowl. Sophia's ladies, Gabrielle, Henrietta Marie, and Claudine, sit to her right. The rest of the courtiers present are strangers. Sange dines with us, and Sophia presents her new, tiny teacup giraffe to the group, a gift from her mother. The animals eat from porcelain plates and stalk along the table.
Camelia, Sophia calls. Have you met Lady Georgiana Fabry, my suitor Auguste's esteemed mother?
No, I haven't, I reply. A pleasure to meet you, my lady. Her mouth is a straight line. She gazes at me and nods, before turning to whisper something to Auguste. I try to make eye contact with him. He avoids my gaze.
Where's the food? Claudine jokes and taps her knife on a plate.
Oh, do have manners, Gabrielle says. We're waiting for one more guest, Sophia reveals with a smile.
She turns around and waves a hand at her guard. A new place setting is added to the table. Whispers about the mystery guest ripple down the table through the voice boxes.
Any guesses? Sophia says. I'll gift a beauty token to anyone who gets it right.
Gabrielle and Henrietta Marie bet on a famous singer. Others list beautiful courtiers who have landed in the beauty scopes this week.
She's here, Sophia says.
The doors creak open. We all turn. My jaw drops when Amber strides in. A jade-green gown blooms around her waist like flower sepals stitched all together.
Ambrosia Beauregard, the attendant announces. As you requested, Your Highness.
Amber!
My heart fills instantly, and I realize just how alone I've really been without her. I leap up, run across the room, and hug her.
I've missed you, I whisper into her neck and hair. Me too, she replies.
It's so good to hear her voice after all this time that I almost burst into tears.
A nice surprise, right, Camelia?
Sophia says. Yes, Your Highness, I say. Amber sits beside me. I have to let go of her hand as the food appears, but I don't want to. I'm filled with all the things I want to ask her, all the things I need to tell her. The courses appear in rapid succession. Savory rabbit and roasted duck and fish, platters of vegetables and salads. I'm careful to only eat after the others have taken bites, and tell Amber to do the same. Amber and I slip into our own bubble. Conversation swirls around us, but we only whisper to each other.
What happened while you were here? I ask.
I'll tell you later, she replies. Have you heard from the others?
Not for a few days, I say. But Adel... She nods and lifts her eyebrows with acknowledgement. Sophia taps a champagne flute.
I have an announcement.
Conversation at the table stops. All eyes turn to her.
My dearest lady of honour, Claudine, will be married.
Claudine drops her spoon in shock. My heart instantly goes out to her.
I can't have my ladies rotting on the vine, Sophia says. So I've decided to arrange suitable mates for each of them before my own nuptials.
Who is the lucky person?
A guest calls out. Sophia clasps her hands together over her chest.
One of my very own cousins. Prince Alfred.
I grip the fork in my hand so tightly it leaves a chrysanthemum-shaped imprint in my palm. Sophia puts her hand up.
No need to thank me, Claudine. He noticed how beautiful you are, and we've been discussing it. I thought you'd make a lovely match. I did think about arranging you with Lady Walden's daughter, Rebecca, from House Lothair, but she was already betrothed to another.
Prince Alfred stands. He walks to Claudine's side and drops to one knee.
I'm certain I can make you the happiest woman in all of Orléans.
Claudine's cheeks flame red. Sweat dots her brow.
But you're so welcome. You'll be a Princess du Sang. We will be cousins.
Sophia pulls Claudine from her seat and hugs her. Claudine is like a statue. Her lips quiver.
I don't think I'm ready for marriage, Sophia, Claudine says when the princess finally pulls away.
Oh, don't be silly. You were so devastated by the last person who dumped you, I thought I'd spare you the further humiliation. This way, you're all settled.
But please, Sophia, I need to tell you...
Not another word. It's time to celebrate. I have chosen for you. That is my divine right.
I spot Claudine's attendant in the far corner. She stares forward, glassy-eyed and near tears.
Now... My cousin Alfie can be quite particular about the way his wife should look. He's been through quite a few.
Alfred chuckles. The whole table laughs.
But since we have another belle in our midst, I figured I'd give you the opportunity to try on a new look. Feel more confident. Have you both choose your forever look together? And for my closest friends to see, in the open, more displays of our lovely belle's talents. We should have more exhibitions like the Beauté Carnaval on a regular basis to remind us of their talents.
She rests her hands on top of Claudine's now slumping shoulders.
Stand for me.
Sophia, I'm happy with my look, Claudine says. I'll just settle into this one.
But I'm not, Prince Alfred says. I think you could be a bit... bigger in your middle section. I like women with curves.
The table laughs again. Panic shines in Claudine's blue eyes.
Let's be a little adventurous, shall we?
Sophia says.
After all, I'm in mourning from the news about my mother, and I need cheering up.
Sophia, please, Claudine begs.
May you always find beauty, Claudine.
Sophia pivots back to the table.
Ambrosia and Camellia, please join us.
Your Highness, this is highly irregular.
Elizabeth stands.
We cannot have beauty alterations done like this. So exposed. So out in the open.
Sophia eyes her.
You are dismissed. I didn't ask for your opinion.
But Your Highness, Elizabeth stammers.
Escort Miss DuBarry out of my chambers and back to her office,
Sophia demands. Elizabeth stares at me as the guards flank her and lead her out. I try to control my breathing.
You and I didn't get along when you first came to court, Sophia says to Amber. I didn't understand you. I thought you were a little boring, all rules and order. But now I think I want both you and Camellia here, at least for a little while. This whole process can cause such tension between the Beauregard sisters. So much pressure being the favourite, isn't it, Camellia? She asks. And so much upset over not being the favourite any more, Ambrosia.
She claps her little hands together. Amber balls her fists. The warmth of her anger radiates like a high noon sun. A little hiccup escapes her mouth when she opens it to speak. But she, as always, says the right thing.
Thank you for this honour and opportunity, Your Highness.
Sophia lays one hand on each of our shoulders.
I'm desperate to see your different styles in action.
A cold sensation drops into my stomach. We're not different, I say. We don't need to put on a show.
I agree, August chimes in. This is a party, Sophia. The bells shouldn't have to work.
August, hush, his mother says. Let them show us their divinity, their connection to the goddess of beauty.
She's my sister. She's talented. You experienced it for yourself when she was first chosen, I say. There's no need for further comparison. Sophia grins at her, then turns to me.
Camellia, you must really love Ambrosia so much to tell that lie. You were thrilled to take Ambrosia's place at court. You believed you should have been chosen from the very start.
Heat flushes through me by the minute. I won't participate, I say. This is ridiculous. My words set off a firecracker in the room. The guests gasp at my insubordination. Sophia's face turns an embarrassed shade of red. I think of Ivy. I think of Astrid. I think of Arabella. I think of all the pain she's already caused. Claudine exhales, a sound like air whooshing out of a post balloon.
You won't participate? Sophia laughs in my face. What do you mean? I command you to help Claudine.
Amber squeezes my hand and leans in to whisper,
Camille, please, play along so we can get out of here.
Her eyes flash with worry.
Well, favourite,
Sophia says, crossing her arms over her chest. Amber releases me and rises to her feet.
I'm game. Let's see who the better favourite is, she says.
Courtiers nod and clap, ready for a show. Sophia jumps up and down with excitement. Amber, I'm not going to do this, I say.
Are you scared?
Amber garners a laugh from the table. Her words bite. She stares at me, begging me to play along. No, I say.
Ladies, please, this is outrageous, August shouts.
We don't need your opinions, August, Sophia snaps. Camellia will do it because I want her to.
Sophia looks me dead in the eye.
She knows what will happen if she doesn't.
She plucks a strawberry and flower from one of the fruit baskets and saunters over to Amber.
Do you like strawberries, Ambrosia? Or flowers, even?
She rubs the strawberry across Amber's lip, then tickles Amber's cheek with the flower.
I jump forward. Don't eat that, Amber!
Sophia strokes Amber's head and adds the flower to Amber's bell bun.
Why?
Amber asks me. She opens her mouth to eat the strawberry.
I slap it from Sophia's hand.
Sophia leaps back.
You act as if it's poisonous, she adds with a giggle. And if you had struck me, even by accident, you could spend 12 years in the dungeons. Did you know that?
Fine, I say.
I accept your challenge. Sophia plucks another strawberry from the basket and bites. Its flesh stains her teeth red.
It'll be a friendly game, and Alfred will pick the winning look. Any wagers?
A woman takes bets at the table and collects Spintria and Lee's coins in her pouch.
Bring me a mirror,
Sophia calls out. One appears moments later and is set against a nearby wall. Servants bring carts holding our beauty casses. Sophia walks Claudine before the mirror.
3 tries. Whichever look Alfred likes best wins.
Claudine bursts into tears. Sophia uses her handkerchief to wipe them away.
You'll thank me.
She kisses Claudine's cheek.
You can even take your servant with you after you marry. I know how fond you are of her. I just want us to be sisters in the eyes of the gods.
Oh, goody, how I love this, someone at the table says.
Do you understand the rules?
Sophia asks. I stare at Amber. Her brow furrows. This is no game. Yes, I say.
Yes,
she answers. Sophia stretches out Claudine's arms before stepping out of the way. Amber coats bay powder on Claudine's face and then gathers supplies from the drawers. I order a servant to bring Belrose tea. My hands shake with nerves as I offer it to Claudine. She takes only a few too hot sips. Her eyes brim over with tears. I squeeze her shoulder in the hope that it consoles her.
"Aren't you going to get supplies?" Amber asks me.
"No, I don't need them," I say. Her mouth drops open with annoyed surprise.
"Well, then, you first, since you're the favourite now and all."
Her eyes narrow. I move to the other side of Claudine. My body warms like the roaring hearth at our backs. The veins in my body swell. They rise in my hands. Claudine appears in my head. Doughy grey flesh, beautiful round frame, dull brown hair, big eyes. I touch her hair. The strands darken and fall down her back in ribbons. I touch her eyelashes. Her irises lighten to dove grey. Brown shades of eyeshadow appear on her lids, and mascara elongates her lashes. I touch her lips, painting them to look like a flower in bloom. I run my fingers along the edges of her body, smoothing her legs and hips to make her thin and willowy like the imperial dancers on their tiptoes. Claudine wipes her forehead with a handkerchief. Her breathing accelerates and she grimaces a little. I stop. "Are you all right?"
"She's fine," Sophia interjects. "Continue. It's beautiful."
I make her breasts larger. "I'm finished," I say. The table claps.
"Don't get excited, Camille. My turn. Step aside."
Amber takes a hot iron from its caddy. She wraps a strand of Claudine's hair around the barrel, and it turns white blonde and twists into tight corkscrew curls. Soon her hair halos her head. The courtiers at the table ooh and ah. Amber wipes a pecan brown paste over Claudine's skin in quick strokes. Claudine's face comes out a little darker than the rest of her, but I don't point that out. Amber changes Claudine's eyes back to hazel. "Lovely," I say. Amber's mouth tightens. Claudine's knees buckle. Sophia's attendant sweeps in behind her before she falls. "We should stop," I say.
"Not yet," Sophia replies. "Look how beautiful she's turning out. She'll be fine. Right, Claudine? You're just fine."
"I..."
Her voice trails off. Her eyes flutter and fight to stay open.
"More tea," Amber says.
I gaze up at Amber and wonder if this is really just a ploy to help us get out of here, if she's playing along or taking this seriously. Her eyes are steely and cold. "Let's stop now, and the table can be the judge of it," I suggest.
"No,"
Amber and Sophia say in unison.
"It's your turn,"
Amber states. I close my eyes and think through what to do next. I don't touch Claudine this time. I let my mind randomly fill in the details. The corkscrews Amber placed in her hair shrivel down into a thick fishtail braid dangling below her waist. Her hair colour darkens to a pale gold, the colour of Spintria coins. I reshape her body again, stretching her limbs like sugar sticks, cinching her waist and making her a whole 4 inches taller. Her skin lightens to the colour of whipped butter and cream. I use her dress to create a new one, stretching it over her frame and letting it bell out at her waist like a parasol. Amber scoffs. I open my eyes and admire Claudine. She could sit atop a royal wedding pastry. Claudine gasps for breath and bites down on her bottom lip. Her head bobs toward her shoulders.
"I didn't know it would hurt so bad," she mumbles.
"We need to stop," I say.
"Not before I get a second chance. You're trying to cheat me,"
Amber says.
"Can't you see she's hurting?" I yell.
"Just give her some tea. She'll be fine."
Sophia snatches the teacup from the tray and forces Claudine to drink it all. The scalding liquid dribbles down her chin, leaving 2 pink burns behind. Claudine cries out. The room sits in stunned silence. August stands.
I've had enough.
He strides toward the door. Sophia motions to her guards. They step into his path. He tries to move around them.
Have a seat, August, or the guards will force you to sit. Like a baby.
Sophia, this is ridiculous, he protests.
And my heart swells. At least he is on my side.
The show has just begun. Enjoy it,
she winks at him. His mother leaves her seat and leads him back to the table. Each breath I take catches in my throat as I watch. Amber steps forward.
My turn.
Guards hold Claudine up. Amber draws black coal lines over Claudine's chest and arms and face, making a beauty roadmap. She changes the contours of Claudine's body, shrinking her down and erasing the height I'd given her, but making her round as a ripe apple. She uses a coal pencil to mark Claudine's face. Amber chisels out higher cheekbones and a more pronounced forehead. Claudine puts her hands to her cheeks. She flushes crimson. The blood inside her is aggravated, trying to get out. I reach for Amber to stop her. Amber moves away and paints a sapphire blue smudge on Claudine's gown. It changes to match the color of Auguste's mother's gown. Claudine's limbs whiten like rice grains, and her hair explodes out from the braid I put in, hitting the floor in one cascading wave. Amber uses a hot iron to start straightening it, then changes her mind and grabs a steamroller for curls. Claudine jerks forward.
Amber, stop! I yell.
No, you won't win, Amber continues to work. I'm not done yet. I'm not done.
Claudine's body morphs so quickly I can't identify all the changes. Her skin shifts into a mosaic of colours, mahogany brown, sandy brown, midnight black, creamy white. Her hair alternates its texture and length. Her breasts balloon and shrink and balloon again.
Amber!
I grab her arm.
Get off, Camille. You're not going to cheat. I'm going to beat you.
She clamps her eyes shut and pushes forward. Makeup races over Claudine's face. I close my eyes and see Claudine there again. Amber's beauty work zips over Claudine's body like a teletrope reel. I try to counter it, to block her from making any more alterations. I feel Claudine's heartbeat and it's not normal. It's so very far from anything I've ever heard before. I can't let this happen, not now. A loud cry pulls me out of my focus. I open my eyes to see Claudine topple to the ground like a branch that has fallen from a tree. Blood pools in her mouth, then drips down her chin. Her eyes bulge open, then dim. Her heartbeat, so frantic a moment ago, is gone. 47. Claudine's attendant screams. The courtiers sit, eyes glassy, hands shaking. Auguste stares into his lap. His mother holds a handkerchief to her mouth. I sway with exhaustion, guilt, and regret. I drop to my knees and press my ear to Claudine's chest. I search for a pulse, even the faint beat of her heart. I close my eyes. The arcana wake again. I try to find something inside her that is alive. But there is only emptiness. A palanquin is brought in, and her body is removed. Servants wheel in dessert carts, spilling over with trays of lunar pastries and snowmelon tarts and petit cakes.
We will have dessert. It will rejuvenate us after such a competitive game,
Sophia announces, taking a sip of champagne. I'm frozen in the place where Claudine's body was. Amber trembles beside me. Tears stream down her cheeks. She mutters the word sorry over and over again.
Have a seat, Sophia orders. Now.
Don't you care about what just happened? I say to Sophia.
Dessert is here.
She sweeps away my concern. She's dead, I say.
Come.
Sophia motions for me to return to my seat.
And I will tell you a story.
I hobble back to my chair. My legs are iron. The guests try to bite into their sugary treats. No one looks up.
There was this girl at court. She was one of the best liars. It was a practiced skill. She made me believe that she would help me, that she enjoyed our time together, that she would make me into the queen I could be. All the while, she actually hated me. She even called me a monster.
She takes a sip of her champagne. Her eyes settle on me. My heart trips over the word.
Anyone here think I'm a monster? That's such a strong word. Usually reserved for creatures in fairy tales, not princesses, not future queens.
I take deep breaths. I look forward, remaining expressionless.
Is that what you really think of me, Camellia?
Excuse me, Your Highness?
I've been told you think I'm a monster. That you called me that, in fact.
My eyes volley between Remy and Auguste. Neither of them look at me. I said,
"Do not lie to me!"
Sophia pounds her fist on the table. The whole thing shakes.
You've been talking about me, and calling someone a monster isn't very nice. It's dangerous, actually. I cannot have anyone in the kingdom saying those types of things about me.
She drums her fingers on her plate. No one breathes.
I also can't have you sneaking around with one of my suitors.
I haven't.
Another lie.
Auguste's face turns scarlet.
You insult me even further the longer you keep up this deception. You make it seem as if I'm unintelligent, as if I can't see your affection for Auguste.
She leaves her chair and walks behind mine. Her perfume gets caught in my throat.
You thought, oh, poor Sophia, she doesn't know anything. She's pitiful. Regent Queen, second best to her older sister. But I've gotten smarter. I've learned to pay attention to the little things, to who looks at whom when they enter a room, how one's voice changes when they talk about a person and more.
She cranes down, getting close to my ear.
You've been a naughty girl.
My hands curl into heavy fists, nails digging into the flesh of my palms. A rage simmers from my heels to my head, tinged with sour fear.
But I have something to tell you.
She cups her hand to my ear and lowers her voice.
Your lovely Auguste, well, my Auguste, was responsible for every bad thing that has happened to you. The dead roses in your bathing chamber when you first arrived, the fire in your bed, the poisoning of your food.
Her words are whisper soft, but they hit me in the chest and in my heart like heavy punches. I gaze up at Auguste.
Did you tell her?
Lady Georgiana asks.
I did! I did!
Sophia jumps up and down and claps wildly. Lady Georgiana sighs.
It's all my fault, really, Camellia. And I'm so sorry to tell you all of this the first time we're meeting. I will be replacing the beauty minister when Sophia is queen, and I sent my very handsome and charming son to ascertain the secrets of the bells. The Dubarrys have had a monopoly on the trade for too long. Change is coming.
The betrayal feels thick and hot in my chest, like my heart is on fire. My stomach roils with shame and embarrassment. Sophia snaps her fingers. An adjoining room opens. Servants wheel in a contraption. Clear vats shaped like cradles hold floating babies. Golden tubes connect them to arcana meters and large vessels filled with blood. Amber gasps. Sophia stands beside it proudly.
Isn't it beautiful?
She kisses one of the glass cradles, then wipes away the smudge left behind by her rouge stick.
You really are the roses of our kingdom, and you can be grown like them, planted like bulb flowers.